Lord, knowing that you do not withhold the resources of heaven to your people, that you invite us to come into your presence with boldness and a confidence because we're your children. And Lord, as a pastor, if I look at what we offer and yet see a people not take advantage of it, I can imagine what it must be like to be you. To be a God who has made all these things available and yet people choose other things. That people chase other gods. That people put other things before you. I can imagine, Lord, the frustration that you and even the angels, Lord, wondering what the heck are people doing? But Lord, we pray that tonight would be different. Lord, no matter how we came in here, Lord, whether we came in here with a hard heart, we ask that tonight you would soften that. Lord, we came here deceived, Lord, for really have forgotten who you called us to be, that today and right now the blinders would fall off and that we would know who you said we are. Lord, we came here just clueless, Lord, just lost. We pray that today we would be found by you. We give you all thanks and we give you all praise. Amen, church?
Amen,
amen. Amen. I want to begin tonight by asking you this question, and I'm sure most of you can relate or know somebody. Have you ever received like one of those, you know, phony emails or a phony call that, you know, all of a sudden you won these millions, right? You won millions and somehow they're stuck in Kenya or something and you just got to give some money and the millions will be sent to you. I mean, how many of you have gotten those? I mean, I get them all the time. I'm like, oh, people, you guys are crazy. You think I'm going to fall for that, but people do fall for that. I've had family members fall for that kind of stuff, and I all broke my heart. But you know what I wonder is why don't these crooks, why don't these guys send these calls or these email requests to police? Why don't they do that? Why do they bother us, and why don't they send it to the police? Well, here's really the reason. Because of who the police are, right? I mean, it's obvious. They don't send it to people that can do something about it, but they send it to the rest of the people that they can deceive. And I wonder about the enemy. How does the enemy in the spiritual realm, how does that apply? Does the enemy recognize who you are? Does the enemy recognize whose you are? And the answer, I'll tell you right now, is yes, right? So you can leave now if you want. No, there's more to it. I'm going to develop it a little bit, right? It does matter who you are. It does matter whose you are. And we're going to see the example today of some guys that were clueless and they paid a price. But a lot of times, even in the church, there's people that are clueless and because of that, they are paying a price. So let's turn to Acts 19. I'm going to read it and then we'll come back and take it point by point. Acts 19, beginning with verse 13 through 20. It says, some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, so there was probably several of these groups, right? Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. So these seven brothers, they came up with a great idea. And verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the men in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overpowered them and prevailed against them. So they fled out of the house naked and wounded. They got a beat down, man. Verse 17, this became known both to all the Jews and the Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on all of them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who believed came and they confessed and they told of their deeds. And many of those who had practiced magic and witchcraft, they brought their books together and they burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them. And it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. I'm going to look at four different things regarding who you are and whether it really matters. And how you access the power of Jesus. Here's the first thing. Regarding the power of Jesus. You see, the power of Jesus is not accessed by secondhand faith. It's not accessed by superstition. That's what these guys, were a little bit of, you know, you see some superstition, you see some secondhand faith operating in them. And that's not the way the power of God, the power of Jesus is accessed. And so we see that there were itinerant Jewish exorcists. They traveled from town to town. They did this trade of exorcism. A lot of times they had a book of incantations, right? They quoted different gods or whatever it might be, but they had these incantations, and people in Ephesus understood that because they did the very same thing. We've studied how in the city of Ephesus, a city really steeped in a lot of black magic and that kind of stuff. Nowadays we would call it New Age philosophy, whatever it might be. So they understood that. They did that very same thing. That's the way they live. They worship multiple gods. And so these Jewish exorcists were really, really at home in this place. And then it goes on, they took it upon themselves. They took it upon themselves. They had a great idea one day. You know what? We've been watching Paul. I got a good idea, they told each other. Right? They took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over those evil spirits. See, they had no divine assignment. This was like their idea. They just woke up with a good idea. We're going to just start using Jesus' name like a rabbit foot, right? We're going to use, you know, we're going to like a scratch-off ticket. We're going to use Jesus' name and see what happens. Well, we're going to see what happens, right? And so they took it upon themselves. There was no divine assignment. And what you and I have to understand is we are under a divine assignment. You and I are. As sons and daughters of the Most High God, we have been authorized. We have been baptized by the Spirit, right? And we have a divine assignment. We don't use Jesus' name as an incantation. We don't use it as magic. And we see people around us, yeah, they're because out of their ignorance, they attach Jesus' name to stuff and they wonder why Jesus isn't moving. Right? You look at their life and they live one way and they think they can just, you know, add Jesus' name to something and he'll move on their behalf and it won't happen and they wonder why it won't happen. Because people are not much different than these itinerant exorcists. They're just adding a name and think something's going to happen. Well, without a divine assignment, God doesn't have to move. He doesn't have to. He didn't say, just throw my name out there and I'm going to move. That's not the way it works. And so they said, man, we exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches, right? Second half faith. It's weak and ineffective. Yet I know believers that lead that way. Well, you know, my parents are in the church. Or, you know, my grandpa, I hear it all the time, my grandpa was a preacher. Or my great-great-great-grandpa, I hear my great-great-great-grandpa was a preacher, as if, you know, somehow, you know, that's going to help you. And it does a little bit, I would imagine. The prayers of the saints, those have gone before you. But you can't live off a second-half faith and somehow access the power of Jesus. That's what these guys were trying to do. They're like, hey, the thing Paul was doing, hey, we enjoin that and move. And it doesn't happen that way. And there's a price that these guys pay. I remember I felt sorry when we were in Haiti. We were there ministering. We had a conference there, and we have several churches in Haiti. And there was these, I felt sorry for these two missionaries. They're short-term missionaries, and they're up in the hills in an area where really strong in voodoo. And I could tell you what happened up there, but I don't want to scare you, so I'll tell you what I when they first came into the hotel where we were staying at, I just knew something's wrong with these people. They were from the East Coast, and they'd gone up there to try to minister, and they didn't know what they were doing. And I've never seen such beat up people. They came and they were just totally beat down, completely beat down. And so this husband and wife, they began. They look bad. And so the first thing I said is, you know what? I need to get you in the middle of my team, and we're going to pray for you because they got their lunch handed to them. They were up there and so facing stuff that they didn't understand at all. And like I said, it's another sermon if I tell you what they experienced. But needless to say, they in their ignorance thought that they could come against the stuff that they saw. And man, did they get beat up? Did they get clocked big time? And so they come and stumble. And so we took the time to pray over them. I took the time to take them inside and teach them some basic principles of spiritual warfare. I'll tell you this, the whole time I'm teaching them the enemy, I feel the demonic. I mean, it's crazy, some of the stuff you feel. You're literally feeling someone punching me on the side because of what I'm teaching these people. But you know what? I'm not going to be worried about that. In fact, I just said, I'll deal with you in a little bit, but I'm gonna keep teaching because these people were beat up. But see, that's what happens. They were ignorant, much like these guys were, and somehow thinking, well, God's still gonna move, but He didn't move on their behalf. And so meanwhile, they come in all beat up. So that's the first thing, that the power of Jesus is not accessed by secondhand faith. We need to know what we're doing, and we need to have faith in Jesus, not in just throwing out His name. The second thing is this, that the power of Jesus is also recognized by the enemy. I love this. See, the enemy knows Jesus. He recognizes His name. He really does. Look at verse 14. So he says, the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, right? They go to this evil spirit, and the evil spirit, right, says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Right? Jesus I know, in the original language, it really uses two words. When he talks about Jesus I know and Paul I know, he's talking two different words. The first one, he says, Jesus I know, he's saying, man, I know Him. Right? I know Jesus. Right? When he says Paul I know, it's a different word, and really, he's acquainted with Paul. He's like, yeah, I'm acquainted with Paul. I'm a bad dude, right? So he says, so what he's saying is this, I recognize their authority. I recognize the authority with Jesus. I recognize the authority that's on Paul. But who are you, right? But who are you? I mean, if a demon were to tell you, who are you? I'd probably be a little worried, right? What he's saying is this, man, you're not authorized to be doing what you're thinking you want to do. You're not authorized. So these guys, they think they can just imitate Paul and somehow they're going to get the benefits and results that he did. And it doesn't work that way. Right? It doesn't work. You can't just, I'm going to use, whatever Paul was doing and somehow that's going to work. And they get a beat down. See, I'm wondering, you get the sense that these exercises maybe had some success in some of the cities they went to. Right? You get a sense that somehow they were somewhat successful. Well, why didn't the enemy not let them be successful? Why did they get a beat down in Ephesus? See, here's what you got to understand about the enemy. Right? His job description, right? John 10:10. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. See, he often seduces us. He seduces people, but ultimately, he will destroy people. That's what he'll do. He'll give people a measure of success, but ultimately he'll destroy them. You study famous people, and you study their life, and it's interesting. A lot of times people start real well, but then you track them, and you see what happens to their life, and it's that way. The enemy will seduce people, and then ultimately he wants to destroy them. See, the enemy is a fallen angel, and he is subject, right, to God's authority. He's subject also to the delegated authority that the Lord has given us. He's subject to us. Remember when in Luke 10:17, Jesus sends out the 70, right? And he authorizes them to go out. And I love the way they come back. They're just giddy as all to get out. It says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They're like, whoa, right? They were giddy as all get out. Because they were authorized to do what they did. But they were giddy because they're like, man, we've never seen this, right? We've never seen this before. The enemy recognizes authority. He really does. Why does he do it? Because he has no choice. He has no choice. Right? Next time someone in authority asks you to do something, try to buck them and see what happens, right? The CEO of the company tells you to do something, and you're like, you know what? Who are you to tell me to do this? I'm the CEO, okay? Now there's a choice to be made, right? If there's a policeman in the middle of the street, he's got a badge and a gun and a few other things, and he says, stop, you should stop, right? See how far you get if you're like, I'm just late, right? I've got our marriage group. I'm late to our marriage group. Just going to go around him. Yeah. Then all of a sudden you're going to transfer from a marriage group to our prison ministry group. But you're still in a group, right? You You wonder, you know, how do the angel, I mean, how do the fallen angels, how do demons view God? Look in James 2:19. They understand him in many ways better than most people do. He says, you believe there is one God. You do well. That's not bad. A lot of people believe in God. That's cool. He says, even demons believe. So, I mean, demons are at least in the same place. But look at the difference. They what? They tremble. Their knees shake. Their knees knock. I mean, that's the difference here. Their knees were knocking when they hear about Jesus. Oh, right? They're worried about Paul because Paul knows Jesus and Jesus knows who Paul is. But they weren't worried about these seven knuckleheads, right? And I wonder, is he worried about us? I hope he is. Yeah. If not, guess what? He's going to have his way with you and your family. Right? Here's the third thing regarding really the power of Jesus. Not only is it not accessed by secondhand faith, also the power of Jesus, man, the enemy recognizes it. But also when the power of Jesus is displayed, people begin to take notice. Whenever the power of God is displayed, people begin to take notice. They understand there's something here. Look in verse 17. It says, this became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. What had happened became known to them. And it says, and fear fell on them all. Well, you're like, well, what's the good news? Well, Jesus can even use fear and bad news, right? Because it shakes people. Even when a catastrophic event happens, God can use that. But you know, people's hearts get hard real quick. When 9/11 happened, the churches were full. The churches were full. There was a church, fellowship church in Dallas. I mean, this is a huge church in its own right. It's like a church of 14,000, right? So after 9/11, it increased to 20-some thousand overnight. From 1 week to another, 20-some thousand overnight. Within 2 weeks, it was back to 14,000. See, the Lord can still use it, but sometimes our hearts are so hard. Right? We're going to take notice, but our hearts are so hard that when the heat is off, we go back to our old ways. So it says, the fear fell on them all. But the Lord still used it. And it says, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. People recognized that there was somebody greater moving through the apostles and the followers of Jesus. They understood. You know, in their day, they're probably, the exorcists in their town, these guys got a measure of power.